Corporal Nobbs being a werewolf?
Yes.
Corporal Nobbs is not a werewolf, mister, in any way, shape or form. Whether he's human is another matter, but he ain't a bloody werewolf, that's for sure.
Then whose nose did I just drop a scent bomb in front of? Said William triumphantly.
There was a silence, and then there was a sound of a thin trickle of water.
Mr. Bone, said William.
What kind of scent bomb?
Said the voice. It sounded rather strained.
I think oil of scalatine was probably the most active ingredient.
Right in front of a werewolf's nose?
More or less, yes.
Mr. Vimes is gonna go round a twist, said the voice of Deep Bone. He's gonna go totally librarian poo. He's gonna invent new ways of being angry just so he can try 'em out on you.
Then I'd better get hold of Lord Veterinari's dog as soon as possible, said William. He produced his checkbook. I can give you a check for $50, and that's all I can afford.
What's one of them, then?
It's like a legal IOU.
Oh, great, said Deep Bone.
Not much good to me when you're locked up, though.
Right now, Mr. Bone, there's a couple of very nasty men hunting down every terrier in the city, by the sound of it.
Terriers? Said Deep Bone.
All terriers?
Yes, and while I don't expect you to...
Like pedigree terriers, or just people who might happen to look a bit terrier-like.
They didn't look like they were inspecting any paperwork.
Anyway, what do you mean, people who look like terriers?
Deep Bone went silent again.
William said, $50, Mr. Bone.
At length, the sacks of straw said,
All right. Tonight, on the Misbegot Bridge, just you. I won't be there, but there will be a messenger.
Who shall I make the check to?
Said William.
There was no answer. He waited a while, and then eased himself into a position where he could peer around the sacks. There was a rustling from them. Probably rats, he thought, because certainly none of them could hold a man. Deep Bone was a very tricky customer. Some time after William had gone, looking surreptitiously into the shadows, one of the grooms turned up with a trolley and began to load up the sacks. One of them said,
Put me down, mister.
The man dropped the sack and then opened it cautiously. A small terrier-like dog struggled out, shaking itself free of clinging wisps. Mr. Hobson did not encourage independence of thought and an inquiring mind, and at 50 pence a day plus all the oats you could steal, he didn't get them. The groom looked owlishly at the dog.
"Did you just say that?" he said.
"Course not," said the dog. "Dogs can't talk. Are you stupid or something? Someone's playing a trick on you. Gottlergear. Vigviano.
You mean like throwing their voice? I saw a man do that down at the music hall.
That's a ticket. Hold on to that thought.
The groom looked around.
Is that you playing a trick, Tom? He said.
That's right. It's me, Tom, said the dog. I got the trick out of a book. Throwing my voice into this harmless little dog what cannot talk at all.
What? You never told me you were learning to read.
There were pictures, said the dog hurriedly. Tongues and teeth and that. Dead easy to understand. Oh, now the little dog is wandering off.
The dog edged its way to the door.
Sheesh, it appeared to say. A couple of thumbs and they're lords of bloody creation.
Then it ran for it.
End of CD 7.